My name is Michel Setboun, and I'm a professional photographer, photojournalist. I decided to take a chance to become a photojournalist in 1978 with the Iranian Revolution. I was in Paris when the Imam came. I mean, when he moved to Mont-le-Château, I remember I was there when he arrived in the garden, and it was the first prayer under the trees, you know, apple trees of Mont-le-Château.
I took it for far away.
And I'm so surprised, you know, Iranian people, they know everything about the rest of the world, but the rest of the world knows nothing about Iran.
There's no mistaking what this, in fact, really is. It's a massive voice of protest against the rule of the Shah.
Good evening. Now we know the United States has passed the word to the Shah of Iran. It's time for him to leave his country.
The political initiative now lies totally with the Ayatollah. Now that he's back, he'll very soon announce the establishment of a government of his own.
There might have been tears in the eyes of the Shah as he left Iran for what could be the last time. There was nothing but sheer delight on the faces of the demonstrators who took to the streets of the capital in their thousands to celebrate the departure of the man they have hated for so long.
We are ready. So, ciao.
We are ready.
Okay. Michel Setboun. I'm born in 1952 and I'm a professional photographer, photojournalist. While I was a student, I was already taking pictures because I was always interested by, first of all, photography and also politics and any kind of problems around the world.
Here you have everything. Here you have the story.
You see, real time testimony. You see? Decided to take a chance to become a photojournalist in 1978 with the Iranian Revolution because during the years before I was working also as an architect in different agencies. I was also taking pictures in the same time. I've done several reportages in Lebanon, in Angola and other places like that, but I was not able to pay the bill with that, then I had to mix everything. I knew Iran because when I was a student, I traveled a lot. I mean, several times I traveled from Paris to Nepal. At that time, you know, it was a route of Kathmandu, we call it. And I stopped in Iran always, you know. I remember I was staying in an hotel in a bazaar called the Amir Kabir Hotel. An hotel for, you know, backpackers. That was my first contact with Iran, you know. It was, at that time, it was, the Shah was already in the power. And then I had some kind of knowledge about Iran. I started to read stories about, you know, the first demonstration outside of Tehran, in the south of Iran, etc., etc. And for me, it was the beginning of everything, because I was confident with what I've seen, this society was going to change, what was moving, you know, was. And then, you know, I was already working with SIPA, the big French agencies, and I told to the boss, the manager, I say, look, there is something going on in Iran, I'm sure something important is going to happen, you should send someone to cover that. And he told me, are you stupid? Why, if you think, if you, you are confident in it, if you think it's important, you should go there. I told him, but you know, I'm not, I mean, I'm a young professional photographer, I don't have this a big experience. And he said, well, this is the occasion to get your experience, you know. I went to Iran in March 78, at a time where nobody was there. I mean, it was almost impossible to see any kind of demonstration, you know. And I had no money because I had no assignment from magazine. And I went back to France after 1 month because I had not much in my camera, you know. And I stayed another 3 weeks, 4 weeks in France, and I decided to go there again in Iran because the process was, I mean, moving, you know. I could feel, you know, something important was happening there. In August, they started to have this huge demonstration in the street of Tehran with, I don't know how many, maybe 1 million people, you know. And that was the real beginning for me, you know, of everything, because I got incredible pictures of that. And for the rest of the world, it was, they could see for the first time this incredible image of this, you know, Shia people, because nobody in the world knew what was Shia, what was Islam Shia, and all the women in chador and all that. That was a big discovery, you know. And I started to have, in August, I started to have good publication around the world, you know, in many magazines. I was also, because I had this experience before.
Now everything is in computer, you know, but here I've got... Not everything is there, but a part of it. And if you want to... Oh yeah, it's here. This is the first, that was the first layout of the book. But it's funny because today we don't work anymore like that. That's funny.
But more journalists were coming in and we were talking about what was going to happen in Iran. And we had two kind of people two kind of people among the foreign press. One, let's say 50% of the foreign press was thinking the Shah was too powerful. It was, I mean, nothing going to happen, it will kill everybody, and this revolution will not succeed. And I could say the other part of the journalists were thinking, you know, I mean, Khomeini was going to be successful. I could say, I mean, let's say it was more the leftist, the left, you know, because among the left journalists, you always think the people as a kind of power to change life, you know. Then that was more or less the situation at that time. Even in the street, you know, some people were coming to me also because I have also an Iranian face and people were thinking I was Iranian, you know. I'm not. But when I was in Iran, I had a mustache and all that. I could look really like an Iranian guy. That helped me a lot. And during that time, you know, it was very confused, you know, because the Shah didn't know what to do. You had this demonstration and the Shah wanted to, he was very westernized, you know, he wanted to show us he was open mind, he was a kind of a democrat, you know. It was very, very, very strange. But, you know, for us it was very interesting because so many things were happening. And for me it was a good way to learn, you know, to learn my work and to have some kind of a good relationship with the people. And then some other photographers, more famous than myself at that time, like Abbas, Mangan, and other people like that. They came to Iran because, of course, it was becoming a very hot place, a place to be, because they have not spent as much time as myself in Iran during the month before. They were not convinced by the new situation. And in fact, what happened, I remember very well, 2 days before the killing in Jalle Square, my friend, like Mangan and Abbas, they left Iran. They say, oh, you're always telling us something is going to happen, and nothing happened, you know. And in fact, when I remember the day of the Jalle Square, I think it was September 8th, very few professional photographers were there. We have very, very few. And for me, that was my chance because I was one of the few who was there. And I got my first scoop, let's say. A few weeks later, someone called me from Paris and he told me you should come to Paris because Imam Khomeini is coming. I said, that's incredible, because at that time, nobody remember, but you had no image of the Imam Khomeini, only painting. No image at all, no picture, nothing. I mean, very few, I mean, we had only painting, even in demonstration, you can see only painting. And because they called me, okay, I went back to Paris, and I was in Paris when the Imam came. He came first to the Cachan, kind of a social housing in Cachan, I mean, suburb of Paris. But of course, the space was too small, but nobody knew who he was. I mean, it was strange, you know, you can imagine, you arrive like in a very strange place. And when he stayed there, you know, he had, of course, many friends, many people were involved in this fighting. And one Iranian said, I have a house in Nofele Chateau. You could stay there, we'll have more space for your team, etc., etc. And then they moved the next day, I think, to Nofele Chateau. And everything started from that, you know. To move to the chateau, I remember I was one of the first, maybe if not the first, to be there. And I remember I was there when he arrived in the garden, and it was the first prayer under the trees, you know, apple trees of North Le Chateau. At that time, maybe 5 people were with him. No more. I mean, very, very few people. I mean, he was alone in the middle of this garden with just the trees, you know. And then with some, of course, I was there with some journalists, Claire Brière, and other people like that from Libération, and other people, because they wanted to have an interview with him, and a guy from Le Point, but we were very, very few. We were like 10 or 15 people there. He was seated under the tree. Of course, after several days, you know, this place was packed with hundreds and thousands of people coming from all over the world, you know, not only from France, but also from Germany, from everywhere.
When I say alone, Imam Khomeini alone under the tree, I took it for far away. First day in Nofle Chateau. And Jalle. That is Jalle. Again, that's on the rooftop in Rome. Rome. You see how many I've got? This time, I think during that period, I've got everything.
I think Imam Khomeini knew, because of all this advisor and friend, more or less who we were, you know, what kind of people we were. He knew, you know, some photographers done this, some journalists has done that. Even he was not, I mean, not a kind of person is friendly like that, you know, he will not shake your hand like that, you know, he's a serious man. But let's say he knew, you know, he knew who we were, who I was, etc. And after, I mean, I stayed maybe in France 10 days like that to have this picture. But I had to go back to Iran because the revolution was still on the way, you know. that time it was very unclear, you know, until, you know, Imam Khomeini decided to come to come back to Iran. Of course, you know, when I knew, you know, Imam Khomeini wasn't able to come back to Iran, I decided to go back to Paris in order to be in his plane, you know. And for them, I think, I mean, first of all, they were going to invite some French journalists, you know. I don't know how many people were kind of a friendly journalist, you know, not that many. But then when he knew, you know, it could be a problem with the army and the plane could be attacked by the army, they decided to open the plane to everybody. And it was very, incredible. You know, I remember that night we left Neuf-le-Château. During the night, we reached the Roissy airport, and the police was looking at the Imam Khomeini like that. I mean, someone they have seen on TV, he was somebody very, very strange. You know, that what was very incredible, I remember we get on the plane. We spend the night in the plane, and we could get the authorization to take some pictures I have a picture of the Imam Khomeini when the plane enter in the Iranian space, you know, watching through the window, and he had a big smile. I remember very well. He was so happy, you know. I remember his face. You know, he was not smiling that often, you know, but that day he was really smiling, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are beginning our descent. Please fasten your safety belt. Thank you.
Was crazy because of course we jumped out of that plane and they were not expecting that many people to be there. 2 million people in the street. I mean, nothing was organized for us, for nobody, you know. What I did, like all, I mean, some of my friends, I just jumped out of the plane and I left in the street. I stayed in front of the car of the Imam Khomeini. Some people, they say, oh, why don't you jump on the top of the car? I say, no, not good, because if you're on the top of the car, you cannot get this picture. And for me, it was also a success, you know, because I was waiting for that, you know, since so long. I was convinced something like that was going to happen.
Demonstration in the bazaar. Well, the quality of the book, of the print, is not perfect, but I wanted to be the first one. We did that very quickly. And of course, today we don't see the image the same way. You know? You have to remember, you know, at that time we had different cameras. It was much more complicated to work. We had four cameras. It was very complicated to work. No autofocus, nothing like that, you know.
During all that time, maybe 30 years, I never came back to Iran because I had nothing to do, you know. If you don't agree with the regime today, you have to remember the story in 53 with Mossadegh. You know, Iran was attacked by France and England, America, and so on. And also how the Western country helped the Shah during all these years, you know. Nobody say anything. And also on top of that, during the war against Iraq, you know, even the foreign country were not saying we help Saddam, but everybody knows, you know, we are helping Saddam. Then you have to understand after 40 years, whatever you think about Iran, you know, you have to be more, let's say, aware of the real situation, you know. And Iran is a much more complicated country than what you can imagine, you know. So surprised, you know, Iranian people, they know everything about the rest of the world, but the rest of the world knows nothing about Iran. That's a big, big, big mistake, you know. And I'm quite happy today with the changing with today, America and Iran are talking about, you know, all the process. And I think this is the best, you know, could happen, you know. And I hope hopefully the future will be better for everybody, and especially Iranian people.